Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Mark's Gospel account, the first chapter. Beloved in the Lord, Mark has set the stage for us, the word of Jesus as authority. Out in the wilderness, Jesus rebuked Satan with God's word. In the synagogue, Jesus silenced the devil's henchmen with a word. And now, the word bears fruit in a home. Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. She's burning up. Immediately, they told him about her. Told who? Peter? No. Jesus. They told Jesus. Why did they tell Jesus? Because Jesus' words have authority. Jesus' words give himself to those who hear. Jesus' words chase away Satan, silence demons, and rebuke fevers. They do what they say and work what he wills, and Jesus wills to heal. His healing is a foretaste of the restoration of all flesh on the last day. His healing is the fruit of the forgiveness of sins. His healing is the stretching out of his heart towards those whom he touches with his hands. This is what love does. Jesus is what love does. So, being told about Peter's mother-in-law, Jesus takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and the fever leaves. The Word made flesh has worked his wonders once more, and his wonders work in the heart of those who receive him by faith. Peter's mother-in-law, you see, could not receive him as a guest in her home until she first received him as Savior in her heart. Now, it might sound a bit corny, but look how things actually unfold in the text. Jesus comes to her first. Jesus touches her. Jesus lifts her up. Mm-hmm. Jesus heals her. Jesus does all of the work, and now, healed of the fever and restored to good health, the woman greets her guests. She begins to serve them all. Jesus and his disciples, God and her neighbor. After a while, the crowds begin to gather together outside the door. Sabbath is over. And the first day of the week is begun. And Jesus healed many who were sick, and he cast out many demons, refusing to allow them to speak. Working his wonders, Jesus left no one out, turned no one away. He never said to anyone, "I'm sorry, I'm not for you." Love is not like that. Jesus is not like that. Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for you. But with all of his working, with all of his miracles, Jesus was not able to preach. "Everyone is looking for you," said Peter the next morning. But why? Why were they looking for Jesus? Why are you looking for Jesus? Everyone is looking, but everyone wants something different. Different than what Jesus wants to give. These crowds, they come to Jesus for miracles, for healings, for exorcisms. They want him to remedy their bodies. Oh, they are very much like us. We are a people concerned about our bodies. We are a people obsessed with our bodies and the bodies of our neighbors. When the body goes wrong, everything goes wrong. When the body hurts, the whole person hurts. When the body is weak, the soul is distressed. When the body fails, faith wavers. We've attached our well-being, our happiness, our joy, our quality of life to our bodies, so much so that when the body needs treatment, we neglect the soul. We worry about our bodies. We fret over our health. We stress about our appearance, we feel guilty about our diets, we're ashamed of our weight, and so we go to great lengths to minister to the body. We join a gym. We run here, we run there. We eat this, and we don't eat that. We worry as much about the food going into the body today as Jews did about eating a ham sandwich back then. Everything about our life revolves around our bodies. And so when the body is threatened with suffering, the first place we run to is Jesus? like to think so. That would be very pious, but not very honest. The first place we run to is the doctor. We run to the doctor and we pray for Jesus, but all we're looking for is healing of the body. Our whole life is tied up in our body because the body has become our idol, one which we must repent of. For beloved, all of our idols will fail, even our bodies. Everyone is looking for Jesus in our text so that Jesus can bless their bodies. And how does Jesus respond to Peter's exclamation? He leaves town. He moves on. Jesus has come to preach and to teach because his preaching and teaching is good for the soul. And what's good for the soul is ultimately good for the body. So this morning, Jesus has come into this house, his church, to preach and to teach his word. It's through this preached word that Jesus comes to those who hear, and he delivers those who believe from the perils of their sins and the failures of their idols. Jesus' word, you see, goes beyond the surface of the body. It cuts through bone and sinew and moves toward the heart. Jesus' word is given for your heart to believe his heart. Those concerned about the body are not concerned about the heart. Those worried about their health are not overly anxious about their souls, but Jesus is. Jesus is concerned about your whole person. Jesus has come to save you, heart and soul, by offering himself, his heart and his soul, in your place on your behalf. And this is all offered to you in his word, because it was given for you on his cross. Though we fuss and fret over the body's well-being, our Lord allows himself to be handed over in the body. Jesus surrenders his beard to be pulled, his cheek to be struck, his brow to be pierced. Jesus extends his hands to be nailed. His feet are fixed with iron. His back is striped with shards of glass and steel. Jesus offers his whole person, body and soul, for the sins and idolatry of the world. And that means he offers himself on the cross for you. You are part of the world. The whole world includes you. You are not left out, and neither is anyone else. That cross is for you and your children and for all who are far off. That body is for your dead and corrupt body. That body, that blood is spilled for your tainted flesh. And that life given is for your life to be renewed and resurrected on the last day. Thus the word that is preached, beloved, is a crucified word. For there is to be no word known among us except Christ and him crucified for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Why? Because this body didn't stay dead. Jesus' body died and was buried, but he didn't stay dead. He didn't see decay. He didn't let death win. But risen from the dead on the third day, Jesus has conquered death for you and me and your children and all who are far off, for the whole world. And the world includes you. You are not left out, and neither is anyone else. His resurrection is for you and for your children and for all who are far off and for the whole world. You are looking for Jesus. You must find him in the right place, giving out the right things. To find him, you must listen to him and for him. For Jesus is always where his word is being preached and his sacraments are being given out. He is always found in his word and his sacraments, and these are always found in his house, in his church, which has been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And so when you gather together, as we have this morning, your ears are to be listening for Jesus. Through his word, Jesus takes the attention that your heart gives to your body, and he places it on his body. Jesus' word is always redirecting your heart, calling you to repentance and faith in the gospel, which is Jesus' heart for you. This is how Jesus works. This is how he works his wonders on the inside. rather than just the outside. He works through the ears to get to the heart. He speaks his word to give you his heart. Through such a word, Jesus approaches anxious hearts in humility and meekness and gentleness. For he comes to soothe, to comfort, to forgive, to regenerate. He delights to speak his mercy into your heart and give his forgiveness to your soul. But Jesus is not just a soul doctor. He's not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. He's not only concerned with your emotional well-being. He's here for your whole person. And so he gives his body and his blood to your heart. And as with all his gifts, these come through his word. Jesus links his word to bread and wine, and so also his body and blood for you for the forgiveness of sins. Through this Holy Supper, your Savior strengthens faith and pledges within your body the resurrection of your body. And he ministers to your body and soul with himself. Jesus is always giving out himself. He's always giving out himself through his word and his sacraments. And so his word and sacraments are always to be received by faith. Faith receives Jesus and appropriates these gifts to the heart. Beloved in the Lord, Peter's mother-in-law was greeted by Jesus, raised by Jesus, and healed by Jesus. Everything she received from Jesus. You are no different today. Jesus has entered this house, and he's met you. Met you with your sins, your idols, your obsessions, your frailties, and your burdens. And rather than walk away or cast you out, Jesus has given you his word and his promises in the gospel. He's given you himself so that having received Jesus by faith, you are now to be like this mother-in-law. You are raised up. Raised up to serve in newness of life towards both God and your neighbor. You'll notice, beloved, that Peter's mother-in-law began to serve them. Not just Jesus. And not just the disciples. But she served them. She served much. Because she loved much. Because she was forgiven much. Therefore, beloved, direct your heart to Christ and not to your own bodies. Behold him for your salvation and serve him as you serve the least of these, his brother. Jesus has united himself to humanity in such a way that serving our neighbor, we're also serving Jesus. And this service is one of love. Love serves because we've been healed. We've been forgiven. We've been raised up unto newness of life. Life that is centered on the preaching and the teaching of Jesus. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.